This podcast is brought to you by Church of Living Waters. Find out more information at colw.info. We hope you enjoy this week's message.
Praise God. Well, if you have your Bibles, let's turn quickly to 1 Peter chapter 4. We're going to be going through the Bible quite a bit today, so I'm going to give you some time to turn. Sometimes I need some time to turn. Praise God, I have maybe about 3 sermons today, so I'm going to weave them together. Ask God to do it. You've already had a sermon. Many have been preached already today. And so we'll put this together and we'll ask God to move here. How many of you know that God is here today? Amen. He's here today to move amongst us. He's here today because we brought him here today. 1 Peter chapter 4, and this is not a text that I'm going to be preaching, but just a text that I wanted to show you today. So 1 Peter chapter 4, let's look at verse 7. It says, Peter speaking, "But the end of all things is at hand." Wow. Peter speaking in that hour, in that day, "But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers." You know, I was sharing this scripture to someone not too long ago, and the young man was telling me, well, he was wrong, wasn't he? But this was, what, over 2,000 years ago, and Peter's speaking that but the end of all things is at hand, it's near, it's very close. He was wrong, wasn't he? How do you say it's been 2,000 years? Wasn't he wrong? The word says, it continues, and it says, "And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins." And I'm here to tell you that Peter was not wrong at speaking this and saying that the end is at hand. You know, he was able to step back and see on a perspective the end. And although it was 2,000 years ago, I mean, that should make us know that the end is at hand. It was over 2,000 years ago that he stepped back and he could see it. I mean, 2,000 years now, it's getting very close to us. Amen? I mean, Peter was able to prophetically see the end, and he says the end is at hand. You know, I don't know about you, but they've told me at about the age of 40, and I'm a little bit over that, that you have started having some problems with your eyes. I'm not prophesying that over anybody. If so, we're going to pray for healing in a minute. But, you know, sometimes this Bible can't get far enough away from me to see it. You know, you're starting to see me maybe look back a little bit. You know, like, if I bring it up here, it's blurry. Used to, it used to be so sharp. I mean, I could just, hey, what, just is it sitting over there? I can read it, you know. But the closer I bring it, the more blurry it gets. And I have to bring it back like this. Do you know a lot of times when things get very close to us, we don't see it? It takes us to get a perspective of taking a step back and looking, like Peter said, and says, the end is at hand. We are so close to the end. Many of us can't see it, but we're very close to it. We have to take a step back and look and know that we're at the end. And the word speaks very clearly. It says this. It says that above all things, have fervent love for one another. I praise God that we're in a home, a ministry, a family, that there's love here for one another. And it says that love will cover a multitude of sins. It continues to say, "And each one has received a gift to minister to one another as good stewards of a manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak of the oracles of God." Peter's very close to speaking about what the end looks like. And I'm going to prophesy at the end of the service what God is saying to this house. And it comes aligned with some of the things that are going on. Thanks, John.
Sorry.
It's okay.
I interrupt your sermon.
Oh, that's okay. Let's give John a hand clap as he comes up and interrupts a sermon. Thanks, John. It's all right. Praise God. Going to be a prophetic word that God is speaking to this house, and it's going to come alongside with some of you that even said some things today. So if you're here to hear today, if you're here, open up your ears to hear. Amen. Not just your normal ears of hearing. Do you know a lot of words that I'll say will just go right out one ear and go out through the other one? Amen? Okay, let's have a little test here. What did Pastor Darren preach on last Sunday? Jesus? Praise God for Jesus. A lot of you are looking at your notes. A lot of you are going, and I know I put you on the spot as you think about this. And I just don't think what I preached last Sunday. Open up your ears to hear what God is going to say today. He has a word to speak to each one of you today. Amen? Amen. So let's turn through a couple of scriptures. Let's look at Acts chapter 2, verse 17 and 18. It's a scripture that we've been reading. This is a text the last couple of weeks. Bring your Bibles. It's important to bring them to church. A Bible. And though you might be clicking today, that's okay. The word speaks very clearly that in this hour that there's going to be things that are going to happen. And we're standing and believing as a body. Acts chapter 2 verse 17 says that it shall come to pass. As Peter said over 2,000 years ago, that the end is at hand. That the end is very close to us. And you know, a lot of times the word says that there's a lie that the enemy has tried to bring into the end people, the end harvest, that we have a long time to still live. It's not going to happen. We have a long time and he's going to come. They've been saying it for over 2,000 years. Come on, a day is like a thousand, a day is like a thousand days. Amen? The word says. So it's been a long time ago. The word speaks very clearly. That he's coming back, and he's coming back very clear, very soon. Amen? Amen. If it's going to be a long time, let me just tell you this. James chapter 4 says that your life is just like a vapor. So it's coming quick. Amen? Maybe it's going to be out in the next generation, but your life is just a vapor anyway. And so very quickly, this day is going to end, and a new day is coming. And we have to clearly live our lives like that day is in front of us, that the end is at hand, as the word says in Acts chapter 2, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Are you all flesh today? You're all flesh. I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. That's you. That's me. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. I praise God for the three youth that came. Did you hear their testimonies? I praise God that in our hour that there are youth that are going to stand in front of us and prophesy over you as an adult. The word says that he will pour out his spirit in the last days. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. I had a call the other day that someone had a dream. And, you know, telling me about the dream. And my first thought was, man, you're getting older because you're not seeing visions anymore. You're dreaming now. So the word says you're getting older. Praise God. I will pour out my spirit in those days and they shall prophesy. Now, let me stop right there. This is a little commercial. The word says very clearly that the body of Christ will be equipped by a fivefold ministry. And the equipping of the body. We can say, you know, a lot of people say, what are the fruits? You're known by the fruit. A lot of times the fruit, what people are thinking, are not the fruit what God says. I mean, you know, great men can have men follow them just by how they talk. Just the gifting. So you can't say because that man has 10 people following him, that's fruit. Amen? A lot of fruit comes when we get squeezed. And our character comes out of us. That's what fruit is. Amen. Fruit is when times are very difficult and we say we will stand because our God is faithful. That's what fruit is. I praise God that yes, many will come to Christ. Many will get saved. But be very careful how we look at what fruit is and what fruit's not. Let the Holy Spirit lead you and guide you in that. Amen. But on April 13th. Here at Church of Living Waters, we're going to have a night service, a day service, and a night service. We're going to be bringing a man that's connected to the ministry. His name's Dale Gentry, and Dale Gentry is a prophet. Dale Gentry is going to come into this place in relationship. He's not just someone that we just called up. He's in relationship with this house for over 30 years, and he's going to come in, and he's going to prophesy to this house. The word says that that's equipping the saints. So I'm telling you, you know, remember back in the day when the prophets came into the house or when the prophets were in the house? They're here today. Come on. And, you know, they would get up and they would start looking. And I don't know about you, but my head would go down. Because, you know, if you make eye contact, it's going to be like, hey, you. And isn't it amazing how they say, hey, you, and they point this way. There's like 10 of us right there. It's like, ooh, it's not me. You in that color shirt. Get ready, Church of Living Waters, because in this hour, God's going to prophesy in this house. He's going to be speaking. And it's not that we need to bring in only a prophet, but the word says very clearly about a fivefold ministry prophet that many will rise up in this house and prophesy. There were people that prophesied today. So I want you to mark your calendar, the 13th. Del Gentry will be here. All right, so let's go for it. Acts chapter 2, verse 17. Do you believe that? That in the last days that he will pour out his spirit. He's coming to pour out his spirit on all flesh. I believe that all people that the Spirit's going to pour out on will prophesy, will speak in tongues. Come on. I believe that in that hour, it's so important for us to know the time that we're in and know that we will not be moved or shaken, that on the inside of us, the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of us. Praise God. You know, not too long ago, as Wes was saying, or someone was saying, Jennifer was saying, how the Holy Spirit comes on us, and he makes us bold, amen? It makes us be able to do things. You know, he lives on the inside of us. He's here on the inside of us, but there are really times where he comes on us, amen? And you know, I don't know, how many people ride horses here? Anybody? One? Okay, there's some in the back, thank you. A few of us ride horses. I like to ride horses. And, you know, I guess that Dave and Karen might not be here today, but Karen can be someone. Do you know a horse is amazing? I was watching a horse and this guy riding it, and this horse would do anything and everything that guy said to do. I mean, yeah, he had a cowboy hat on, and I guess he was a cowboy. He had these spurs or whatever they are on his boots. And, man, this horse would stop when he said stop. He would go when he said go. He would back up if he pulled. He turn right, turn left. And so I'm going to ride the horse next, you know, and I'm watching this guy. I'm not really, you know, a horseback rider, a horse rider too much, but I'm thinking this horse is one of the best horses. I can do whatever he's doing. I'm watching him. And so, you know, he kind of ties him up, and the bad thing that day is I didn't have a hat. I think the horse looked at me, and because I didn't have a hat, it was amazing that how did that horse know me and him, I did almost the exact thing that he did, but when I kicked, the horse didn't go. And when I pulled, the horse looked at me. Do you know that this horse actually picked up its leg and tried to kick me? I'm like, what are you doing? See, the horse knew who the rider was. Amen? When we know who the Holy Spirit is, there's boldness that comes on us. See, when God knows and we know that he is living on the inside of us and we know that, okay, right now he's making intercession for me, right now that he's here for me, get ready, he's fixing to move, and we understand and we know that, and there's great faith, it's just going to be just like that horse, it's going to respond. All right. Okay, let's turn just quickly to Matthew chapter 13. End time harvest. That's described in Acts chapter 2. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Every true believer in Jesus Christ will be baptized with the Holy Spirit and fire. Baptized with the Holy Spirit and fire. God is looking for someone that's on fire, with living waters flowing out of me. Praise God that we're named Church of Living Waters. Living waters flowing out of our hearts to a dying city. We should be known as Church of Living Waters, where living waters is flowing out of us because it's in our heart. Every true believer in Jesus Christ will be baptized with fire. This will mark the wheat from the tares in the word. We're going to look at it. That saved from the lost. So if you have your Bibles, Matthew chapter 13, verse 24. Let's turn there. The word says this. We're going to read through 30. Another parable he put forth them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in this field. But while the man slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went away. But when the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares also appeared. So the servants of the owner came and said to him, sir, do you not sow good seeds in your field? How then does this have all the tares in it? Verse 28, he said to them, an enemy has done this. The servant said to him, do you want us then to go out and gather them all up? But he said, no, let's while you gather up the tares, you uproot all the wheat. So let's leave them alone. Let both grow together until the harvest time. And at that time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather together the tares and bind them in bundles and burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. The word speaking very clearly here, wheat and tares look the same. We have to understand this. They look the same in the harvest field. Then the full heads of grain cause the wheat to bend over. And you know what? This full grain, Holy Spirit, on fire, wheat in the last days that's going to grow up, it's going to bend over with God's glory. You know, I'm a wheat, and there's tares all around us, and we have to be careful. It's amazing, as a leader, God tells us not to go into the places and pull out the tares, to leave them alone. And you know, I believe that it's God going for the very last, to the very end, for every person, saying, you are my son, you're my daughter. I give you opportunity. I give you a chance to let me pour out my spirit on you. And at the very, very end, there'll be a separation. The word's very clear. It'll cause the wheat to bend over while the tares stand upright, having no fruit. The baptism of the Holy Spirit and fire will bend the once proud with the kabod. His glory weight will be bent over of the fruit of the Spirit. With humility, they will worship the Lord Jesus Christ in spirit and truth. You'll be able to see in the last hour. See, right now it's very hard to tell the wheat from the tares. But in the last hour, the wheat's going to stand up with so much fruit, and the Holy Spirit's going to bend it over, and that you'll be able to easily tell the difference, and a sickle will come, and it will separate. Praise God that in that separation, I know where I'm going to be. I know that in that separation, what Church of Living Waters is going to be. I know that where the city of Rosenberg's going to be. There's work to be done. Amen? There's work to be done. The baptism of the Holy Spirit in fire will bend. Do you see this? It's going to grow all together. I don't know if you've ever seen wheat, and we don't see it that much anymore, but it looks like completely the same. As wheat grows up, there's a big part of the wheat when it's harvested that's falling over and bending with wheat. It's so heavy because of God's glory, because of God's grace. You'll be able to see the ones that are prepared and ready. What are the signs that precede the coming of Christ? Peter's telling us that the end is at hand. The Word of God says always, over and over, that the end is coming. And I'm here to tell you that the end is coming. God has spoken to me to be prepared, to be ready, not to be like a thief in the night, which the Word says, that in me being ready, that the end is coming, it keeps me aligned to what God has for my purpose and my plan. God, you might come in the morning. I want to make sure that I'm prepared, ready to do what you've called me to do. In this list of these names, God, you've given us this Easter. Father, if you choose to tarry through Easter, Father, God, you've asked me to write down five names. Father, you're leading me in this ministry to put five names here, God, to start praying for these people. God, to start inviting these people. God, we don't know what tomorrow holds, but this could be the hour. This could be the day that you've called me to do, called me in. And this list, God, I'll give it to you. I put it in front of you. Amen? God wants us to live a life that's a continuation of his life. So what are the signs that precede the coming of the Christ and the end of age? The word's very clear. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 24. Boy, y'all have some quiet pages out there. Matthew chapter 24. Starting with verse 10. The signs that precede the coming of the end. The word says, and then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many, and because of lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. Now listen to this. But he who endures to the end shall be saved, and the gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations, and then the end will come. Let's read it. Let's look at it again. Verse 10. And then many will be offended and will be betrayed by one another and will hate one another. Wow. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. If you have eyes to see, ears to hear, you'll know that there are false prophets that are around even today preaching messages that don't line up with the Word of God. And many people don't have this as a tool anymore. They don't have this as a guide anymore. They're taking what people are saying and they're just standing on what people are saying, and they're not proving it with what the Word says. And they're so shallow, just believing, just going whatever wind goes on. And the word is being so watered down. And praise God for His grace and His mercy. I'm here because of His grace and His mercy. But I have to believe the Word. These words that are being spoken right here are in red. Come on, it's Jesus speaking. If Jesus is speaking it, He was speaking it for then, He's speaking it for now. Our lives have to align with His Word. Listen to this. Offenses are the bait of Satan as he uses to unplug us from relationships. He loves to have offense. He loves to bring bait. And what's going on in our world today, in our church today, is that we're not doing what God's asked us to do with offense. And we're just kind of to take it. You know, we've been taught just to leave that alone, to walk away from it, and it will fix itself. Offense does not fix itself. Come on, if there's someone that you have a hard time talking to, or someone that you're in Walmart and you see them and you're like, whoa, try to turn to go down the other aisle. There's something that goes on. If I can say a name and you just kind of start sweating or start like, ugh, it shouldn't be, church. You know, how about the guy that's on the road, and I had one the other day just pass me up and just pull right in front of me, and it seemed like he slammed on his brakes. I'm like, what is he doing? Why is he so frustrated in this life? And God just says, that's my son. You know, I'm like, God, do something with your son. My goodness, he's making the whole road crazy. Matthew chapter 18 speaks to us about offense. And it's very clear. And as Church of Living Waters, we will understand with offense. We're not going to let the enemy come in and bait us and let us lose relationship because of what he's tried to do. He loves for us to get very close to the plan and purpose in his life. And then he'll come in and he'll kind of weave in and he'll bring an offense. And I'm telling you, how we handle offense, how we handle in relationship is how we handle what God's going to do with us. He wants us to work it out. Matthew chapter 18 says to go to a brother that offends us. So because we are not been the church, many of us just say, well, he maybe didn't mean it. The Bible doesn't say not to say he didn't mean it. The Bible says to go to him. It's for both of us. Amen. If you come to me, it's for me because I don't want to keep offending anybody. Maybe I don't even recognize what I've done. You know, maybe a light needs to come to my life of me saying, yes, you're right. Yes, I'm sorry. Yes, I'm not going to do that anymore. See, we haven't went on these little things, and we have people offending, and they don't even know that they're doing it because we haven't went to them when we've been offended. It's very clear. We go to a brother when we're in offense, and when we go to him, we already have a heart of forgiveness. Come on. Man, you offended me. I'm waiting outside for you. Come on. I don't know if I could have worked already that heart of forgiveness waiting outside for you. God wants to instruct us, and he wants to lead us. He wants us to come to him. He wants us to prepare because he says that he's the rock of offense and that when we go to a brother, he will be there. So the word says very clearly, if the brother receives us, guess what? You've gained a brother. If the brother rejects it, the word speaks and he says to take another brother with you. Now, you know what? Why it didn't tell me to take another brother at first? Because you're going to go to someone, and two or three of you are going to go, this guy that's just you offended is going to say, man, whose all did he tell? The whole church knows about this? This is just a small thing. You've made it so much bigger. So the word says to go to a brother to be careful with your mouth with what you're saying. because you're sowing seeds into discord. Amen. It's just in between me and him. Now the whole church, it's in between. I'm just giving you some example of what the enemy wants to do. He would love to pull you out of a place that there's a place of safety, a place where God's using you, a place where your purpose and plan's going to go with offense. If the brother the second time does not come with you and someone, the word says then to take it to the church. It's very clear what God says. So the bait of the enemy is through offense. The true prophetic flow from God gives the signs that signal the end of time harvest. As Peter said, that the last day is at hand, over 2,000 years ago. We're 2,000 years closer to the last hour, to the last day. And many times our vision can get very blurred. But prophetically, God is speaking to his people to hear what hour we're involved in. Amen? If you have ears to hear, eyes to see, you know exactly where you are. God is not going to do something to surprise his people. But if your eyes are blind and your ears can't hear, you're going to be surprised like a thief in the night. There's a preparation that God wants to do for his people. The word says in Amos, you don't have to turn there, surely the Lord God does nothing unless he reveals his secret to his servants, the prophets. It continues to speak. Listen to the words of King Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah. Hear me, O Judah, and let your inhabitants of Jerusalem believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper. The word of God is full. We need to believe the word of God. We need to believe what Peter's saying, no matter if it was 2,000 years ago or not. If anything, I thank goodness we're 2,000 years closer. It's at hand. It's coming. Jesus warned the church. If you have your word, let's turn just quickly to Revelation chapter 3. I brought my big Bible, so it takes a little longer to turn for you, so just go quickly. Revelation chapter 3, starting with verse 15. You know that Jesus warns his church? He warns a church that one of the worst conditions that a Christian could ever have, one of the worst conditions that we as his people could ever get involved in, one of our worst conditions is to be halfway in and halfway out. One of the worst conditions is just to live life like we received Christ back in the day in 19 whatever. And because I received Christ, everything's covered. I can just live my life how I want to live my life. See, he didn't just come and die on a cross for us to be saved, and then just for us to go to heaven. If it was that, it could have been at the time where he was on the cross, where we received Christ, he would have just took us then. But he chose to leave us here, amen? And we just didn't get saved just to get saved. We got saved to receive an open door, to walk involved into a door. Then we got saved to start being healed, to start being delivered, to start being set free. You know, my kids, they'll come to me and maybe they've hurt themselves, so they fall down. Dad, help. One of the first things that I say, can you move it? You hurt your leg, can you move your ankle? See, I want to see as a father that loves them, that is, if it can be easily moved, then it's not broken. But it might just be sprained. It might just be hurt. But if it's broken, we're going to have to go to a doctor, and a doctor's going to have to come set the leg. Because if it's not set, it's not going to heal correctly. We're a people that are broken, that have not been set. Come on. That have just healed themselves. And we've healed ourselves, and we've healed because God's created the body to heal itself, but it didn't align it correctly. And yes, we're saved. Yes, we have Jesus living on the inside of us, but we're living in a world that we're broken, and we can do nothing good for the people that are around us because we're broken ourselves. And Jesus did not create that for us. He saved us. He delivered us. He set us free to come to him and to receive him and to get all that he has for us. He came to put his head on the enemy's neck. He came to take back and restore all the enemies taken from me and all generations behind me and all generations to come. And he says that now is the day. It's the day. Let's read this just quickly. Revelation chapter 3, verse 15. I know your works, that you are neither hot nor cold. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will vomit you out of my mouth. These are the last days. This is the last scriptures. These are the warnings of the church. This is where we are today. Yes, there's grace and there's mercy. I'm on this because there is a religion that's going on in many, many churches that lacks any power, the Word of God says. I have to tell you this. This is not a feel good, help me type of word. This is a changed life, transformed message. That's not easy, as Wes said. That's the most difficult thing we've ever done, but he's never going to leave us or he's never going to forsake us. He's not just halfway made us to do good. Yes, praise God for his grace and mercy, but because of his grace and mercy, because he sent his son to die on a cross for me, because of that, I will fall down, God, and I will be nothing in your arms, and I will let you use me. And out of my heart will come living waters that people will understand and know that there's something different about his heart. Let me finish this. Because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich in white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salves, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent, because the kingdom of God is at hand. It's very close. For one who has met God, been born again, experience of God's love and his great salvation. I don't understand how someone can come to God and experience his love and know what he's done and then to fall away from him. It's hard for me to understand a loving God that we have than to go off and to say, I really didn't even know him. He's okay. God wants a heart that's zealous for him. He wants a heart that's prepared and ready. How can anyone know our glorious God and Savior and not be on fire for him? Yes, as Jennifer said, there's hearts that are wounded. There's hearts that are broken. But I'm here to tell you, he's the one that heals hearts. He's the one that heals broken. He's the one, if you run to him, he'll heal it. He'll set it up. He'll prepare it to start healing correctly. And he'll create and he'll make in you a new heart. What are we waiting on? Time is short, it's at hand. Just want you to stand with me today. I want to prophetically speak over you today. You've heard some of this today, but everybody just look at me. God has given me this word. I wrote it down. I want to speak this over Church of Living Waters. The next few months are months of release. You might say, well, Pastor, I don't know what time we're in. I don't know. Maybe I don't know. Listen to what God is speaking. Praise God for the Word of God. Praise God that he's given us the Word. But God speaks, and he speaks very clear to this hour for those that can hear. And as God is speaking to me about Church of Living Waters, if you stand on what's being said, it will happen. It will come. The next few months are months of release. Take this opportunity to cry out for release. Let me continue. This is the word of God. He's speaking. Release from debt. Release from hard oppression. Release from oppression of labor that you've been under. Release from the strategies and bondage of the enemy, how the enemy has had you in. Release from the unseen snares that the enemy has planned for you. Release. The enemy has planned all of these steps into the days ahead. Release from the unforgiveness. Release from bitterness. Release from broken relationships. Release into new authority. Release into new anointing. Release into a new level of God's glory. In the next few months, there's going to be a great release in this body. Releasing from the old, releasing from the bad, releasing into the new, releasing into a new place. I claim it. Come on. I claim it. Now I want to speak what God said, and I'm almost finished here. The pressure you are feeling is your faith having to expand to accommodate your miracle. I was writing this, just hearing God speak very clear, Darren, speak this to my people. See, there are people here that God is speaking to and you're not even listening. Come on. God wants you to hear His word today. He wants you to grab it, receive it. The pressure you are feeling is your faith having to expand to accommodate your miracle. Those of us who are in this condition are pregnant. Our spiritual wombs are filled with spiritual promise, dreams, visions. God has placed them there. Consider this, God says. It hurts to have a baby. But the pain that a woman feels when she gives birth is caused by her bone structure having to expand to accommodate the head of the baby. If a woman's bone structure does not expand in this manner, and the baby stays in the womb, if it stays in the birth canal too long, the baby will die. It's not like that the spirit. Many people carry their dreams all their lives and never birth them. And when they stand before the Father, their dreams will still be inside of them, because every time they felt the birth pains, the pressure within them, they needed to stretch, they needed a push, they pulled back from it. Every time that they came to a place where it got difficult, instead of standing to stand, to be steadfast, God, we trust you, we pull away from it. It's normal for us to pull away from pain. Come on. It's God for us to push into pain. God is asking us in this hour of this release that's coming to push into it, Rosemary. Don't just let it pass you by. To push into it. He's going to be with you there.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. We pray you were encouraged and would love to hear from you. For more information on Church of Living Waters, check out col.info.